Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the High Hopes Podcast. It's a bunch of baseball nerds talking about the Phillies on Radio.com and Sports Radio 94 WIP.
It is another edition of the High Hopes Podcast. I hope that didn't wake Zoe. I tried my best to.
Sorry, Zoe.
Yeah, I think it was pretty good. I think we did good there. Here's the thing, all right, since we have last spoken, Bryce Harper is getting a ton of credit right now for the 9 of 10 proclamation. They did it. We did it. They actually won 5 games in a row, and then they've won 4 more, sweeping the Nats, suck at Nats, burying the Nats. But the problem is that everyone's giving Bryce Harper all this credit when the real person who called the run is right here on this podcast. Jack, we doubted you. People doubted you, and then Bryce followed your lead. That's what I say. That's my story.
I couldn't agree more. And and I wasn't the one that had one hit this week. So
that, buddy,
who had?
Go. We're recording super late at night. I'm drinking a beer just to bring it. Let's go.
Who had a bigger impact on the Phillies making this run? Was it Bryce Harper or was it me? It's really hard to say. It is really, 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 really hard to say. If Bryce wants to take the credit, that's fine. I do just like to say that I get told a lot, James. And James, I take a lot of things said on Twitter very, very personally. I've been told a lot in my minuscule career in radio and media that I'm a mush and I ruin everything and I'm just ultimately just I hurt my teams more than I help my teams. This is a major win for me. This might not.
You needed this. You needed this.
If a guy ever needed something more than me, when it comes to breaking down the mushes, it's me. So,
if ever it was going to be something, it would be you believing in a Phillies team. It's so unlike you.
No, it takes a lot for me to start believing in a baseball team, especially the Phillies. All I'm saying is as soon as Nappy made the player of the year, I knew this team was going on a run. I mean,
a season saver. Richie had a great comp for it on the air. He called it, it's the Jake Elliott 61-yard field goal for the Phillies. I was like, I like that. Let's go with that.
Does that hurt you? Like, does it bother you that Nappy, like, where were you when Andrew Knapp saved the Phillies season?
You're talking to a charter member of the Andrew Knapp fan club. I don't even know what you're referring to, sir.
Dude.
I have never wavered in my love of Andrew Knapp this year.
what if he hits over 400? I mean, he's batting like 450. I mean, Gwynn.
I think he's batting like 470, isn't he? It's crazy.
Listen,
I think it's fragged to 450. You're right.
Ted Williams, Ty Cobb, almost Tony Gwynn.
Almost Tony Gwynn.
Andrew
Duffy.
Andrew
Hugh Duffy territory. He's going to threaten Hugh Duffy's 432 or whatever it is.
Onus Wagner and Andrew Knapp.
Oh, buddy.
God, I love them. Don't you just love this team? Like, aren't you just... I think about them a lot.
They're easy to root for, man. They're fun. They play hard. They play the right way. Girardi has them. Like, it just... yes, they're easy to root for, Jack. And they're fun to watch because they freaking pound the baseball every night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, this is what like the, you know, 06, 07 kind of feeling was. It was like every night... The pitching staff will probably suck, but they're going to hit the crap out of the ball. And like the thing is they actually add on, you know, like we've seen some Phillies teams in the past that'll put a couple runs up and they'll have maybe like one big inning and then they'll just be like, that's fine. We're good. This team actually has the wherewithal to think, hey, maybe we should add on to this lead, which is, I've never seen a Phillies team get insurance runs, and it's just really impressive that the Phillies are able to actually add insurance runs to their leads. So
it's unheard of.
Oh, especially for this baseball team.
Well, and also the way they do it, too. Like, last year, you know, the whole, like, home run or nothing philosophy, this team hits the ball. Like, you know, they're attacking offensively and they're stealing bases. Like, they run like crazy. They're aggressive on the base paths. I mean, they're doing all the stuff that we talked about, like loving the, and granted, you know, maybe there was some cheating involved, but the 2018 Red Sox, we were gushing about them and how fun they were to watch. And all. I was like, this feels like that type of squad in terms of like, they see a baseball and they hit a baseball and it's not all relying on home runs and they manufacture runs and they're stealing bases. It's just fun, man.
Well, they're playing baseball. I mean,
they're
playing
baseball. Exactly.
Which is great.
Exactly right.
And, yeah. I couldn't agree more with you. Like they're trying to barrel up baseballs rather than trying to launch baseballs. And I think that was the main, ultimately, I think that was the main flaw of John Mailey, was John Mailey was so obsessed with launching and that stuff. And Joe Dillon's gotten them back to the point where it's like, hey, let's make solid contact and then hopefully hit the ball out of the ballpark. And believe me, you know, if you've listened to this podcast enough, you know that me and you are both very pro analytics and all that stuff. But what I'm seeing right now from this Phillies teams, and tell me if you agree, James, and it might be a bit of a reach, but listen, this podcast has always gone overboard. And
no, never. And, especially not you with the Phillies.
And,
like, I don't know what you're talking about.
And when this Phillies team wins 8 of 9 or 9 of 10. I feel like I'm allowed to go a bit overboard. Am I allowed to? I mean,
yes, please.
I feel like we've earned this.
Our podcast is named High Hopes.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Come on.
It's time to earn the nickname. But what I'm watching right now is how I felt when I watched the Nationals last year. And I know we don't have Rendon and whatnot, but I mean, Alec Bohm's close. And, and
slipping that in there.
And
Alec Bohm, dude, Alec Bohm's such a good hitter. We'll get into it.
I know.
But like, what a hitter.
Dude, just such a joy. Joy.
The two-strike approach, like choking up on the bat, you know, shortening his swing. Like, he's just like a real hitter. Jack's obviously using a little bit of hyperbole or joking a little bit with the Rendon thing. But, like, he's that type of hitter, right? Like, he's someone who is just... like a savant when it comes to hitting and just is going to be able to take the baseball where it needs to go and have a immaculate approach.
I'm not saying that he's Anthony Rendon right now, but in a couple of years, I mean, we'd be talking like I'll put it out there this way. Let's put it out there this way as fair as I can. If Alec Bohm does not compete for a batting title, something goes wrong. Like, if he doesn't lead the league in doubles in one year, something went wrong.
Totally with you.
Like, he's JD Martinez, Anthony Rendon. That's what he is. That's what he is. He's never going to be the 40, 50 home run guy. He's going to be 300. with like 25 to 30 home runs. That's what he's going to be.
That's an awesome player.
He's an awesome. He is an awesome player.
And again, like, I can't emphasize enough. He's 24 now, right? He was 23 and now he turned 24. Like, whether he's 23 or 24, like, to have the approach to hitting that he has at this age and what he's showing at the major league level is, like, crazy impressive. Like, so beyond his years as a hitter. Like, that's why I think it's he is a batting title type of hitter. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and here's the thing. It should only get better, you know.
He's a rookie.
Yeah,
he's a freaking rookie, man.
Now Reese did look like this when he came up, but the difference between him and Reese is that Reese was always streaky, whether it was in the major leagues or minor leagues. Reese always had up and down swings, and boy, when they're down, they're down, and when they're hot,
they're up. Which I'm sure we're gonna talk more about.
Yeah, it's freaking crazy, man. But Bohm is just like so consistent, and do the ground balls drive me crazy sometimes? Yeah, but they're gonna happen. And then you see that just the shooting the ball to right field. And he had the at bat tonight, I think, earlier in the game, third or fourth inning. And it was like a curveball that was out of the strike zone down, and he hit it to right field. And I was like, oh, there's Jason Wirth. Like, I know it's frustrating that every national broadcast brings up that he looks like Jason Wirth, but he literally, everything he does is just like Jason Wirth.
It feels very Wirthy, which is something you said before he was up, you were calling him Jason Wirth.
Well, my first comp was Jaden Martinez. And I think that's going to end up being okay.
I mean, no offense to Wirth, who's a great, great player, but he's not quite the hitter JD Martinez is.
No. Dude, they won 9-10. The Phillies team won 9-10. The Phillies were able to actually do this. I haven't been able to stop smiling since the game.
I know.
Well,
and real quick, it's because what you were just talking about, like this Phillies team is doing things that we haven't seen a Phillies team do in a while. Like,
dude, a decade. Leads, a decade.
They're handling games the way they're supposed to. I mean, they're getting, right now at this moment, all facets of the game contributing for the most part.
Well, and how about even just executing, like McCutchen late in the game?
Well, how about Bohm at the end of the game? And even then, it was short. It was short to center, but like, just getting enough of it. I mean, they continue to execute. That's what we were talking about before, like manufacturing runs.
Yeah,
like
that's how teams win.
Taking advantage of opportunities, man.
Yeah, and that's listen. The home runs and that stuff that works in the regular season, and I think that's
this is a great point.
Well,
this is a great point, Jack.
But like,
you're
that's
right.
that's the philosophy of a lot of these, the analytical, really really analytically driven teams. It's all home runs and all that stuff. But that's regular season baseball.
I love this point.
Over 162, it evens out. Like, sure, yeah, water finds its level. If you hit more home runs, you're gonna win more games. That's fine. But when it comes down to postseason play, you have to be able to do the little things. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the first 2 weeks of the season, we didn't really see that. And obviously, they're on a hot streak. I mean, they've won 9-10. I don't know how many times I can say that. The Phillies have physically won 9-10 ball games, which I didn't know was
again. Like, look, they've already exceeded their highest win total win streak in a row since 2018, and now they've tied it again.
Yeah.
Like, just in the span of 10 games. Like,
so,
let's go.
So if winning 5 games in a row was the equivalent of a 13-game winning streak, like, what is 9-10 in equivalent in 60 games?
I think it's something like, I didn't do the numbers, but I think it's something like 25 out of 29 or something. Or no, less than that, 25 out of 28. Like, it's crazy.
Oh, man.
25 out of 27. Like, it's legit. That's like a serious thing. It's crazy.
That just warms my heart. Imagine if they actually won 25 of 28.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I mean, imagine
that would be like leading sports center, you know?
Yeah.
It might be a little less than that. It might be like 23 out of 26 or something, but it's like something ridiculous. I know that 8 of 9 was 21 out of 24, essentially, like with some decimal points. So like, it's gotta be something maybe like 24 out of 27 or something like that. Which
hey.
Is wild.
Hey, official high hopes position? it's 25 of 28. I think that's we don't have the numbers in front of us, but we're just gonna go with that one. It feels right in the gut, doesn't it? Like it
does. Yeah, it feels like the right number.
It really does. I just love the brand of baseball they're playing right now. We're seeing Joe Girardi's fingerprints all over this.
Finally, impact we're seeing. And one thing real quick before we move on to Girardi, just because I want to highlight this, and I think it's super important because a lot of people gave him crap early in the season for not pitching Nola deeper, not pitching Wheeler deeper, not letting guys go deeper into games. And for those who are not paying attention to what's happening around baseball, like, there have been an insane amount of starting pitcher injuries, and the Phillies have not suffered them. I think Joe Girardi was way, way dead on with that. Like, I think that in this weird season, that short ramp up, he was really smart to hold his guys back early on so that they could work it up. And I think that, you know, he deserves some credit for that.
Well, I think it's not only that, but I think it's also not pitching guys in back-to-backs of doubleheaders. Totally. And he's starting to use guys in back-to-back days, like Phelpsy came in today and worked back-to-back days. Oh, listen, I understand he let up the home run, but that dude,
whatever. Yeah. Michael Taylor owns us for some reason.
Yeah, I mean
he's good. Phelps is good. Like, you could just see it, like, eye test guy. Like, yeah. Watch him pitch. Like, he's just nasty. He's just good.
It's kind of how I feel about Tommy Hunter. Just nasty. Every time he goes out there, fully confident he's going to get the job done. He took a little while to kind of build up the... I feel like it took a little while for him to build up the arms in the bullpen, especially, like, Tommy Hunter, getting him to get up to where he is now, where he feels like he can take the ball every single time he needs him to take the ball, and just not getting anyone hurt. Like, remember, was it the first doubleheader? He didn't use Neris in the first game.
Yeah, totally, and people gave him a lot of crap for it, remember? What happened was he had to use Neris for one pitch in the first game. He had to use Neris for that one pitch.
And I didn't bring him in the second game.
And yeah, he got killed for it.
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice to be validated with the Girardi thing. Because honestly, we never lied to the High Hopes listeners. This is the staple of this podcast. The first couple of weeks, I was like, oh, this is we overrated managers. I was wrong. You know, managers really don't make that much of a difference. And I know, obviously, they've won 9 of 10. That's the disclaimer. I got it. Whatever. But whatever.
Wait, did they won 9 of 10?
Yeah, they won 9 of 10. They won 9 of 10. They're hot.
I want to make sure, for the record, 9 of 10. Got it.
And I would just like to question again, and I don't know who did this, but... who let the Phils get hot? Is it the Braves? did the Braves let the Phils get hot? I mean, very sad. Very sad from Atlanta. But
you know what's very sad, by the way, before we forget?
Yeah.
The national season is over. They will not be defending their World Series crown, so that's pretty sad, too, just so we, you know, kind of make sure that's out there.
Yeah, James, that team stinks, man.
What are they, 12-23 right now? I mean, with... I think they have like 25 left to play. Like, they're cooked. Like, it's, you know.
I mean, it's about.
I would guess, I haven't looked at the numbers, but I would guess they have like a 2-3% chance to make the playoffs. And, you know, that, like, numbers are meant to be broken and all that kind of whatever. But, you know, I would guess it's like 2-3% maybe.
Their luck ran out last year. I mean, 19-31, turning that into the team that they turned into.
Crazy. Like, look, Strasburg, like, just out this year and then losing. And again, hey, you know what? Losing Anthony Rendon, that's gonna hurt your team. Who'd have thunk it?
You should replacing
Anthony Rendon with Carter Kieboom. Who'd have thunk that wouldn't work? I don't know.
Truly shocked. And Dave Martinez is a dog crap manager. I don't care that he won the World Series last year.
I don't hate him like
that. Oh, he's terrible. Whatever. And Brock Holt's terrible.
He's an emotional intelligence guy, Dave Martinez.
Oh, yeah, sure. Just like Dougie. Just like Dougie P.
Dougie P?
Yeah, like that national. Dude, first off, Victor Robles, like, how are you fielding the ball like you just did on, like, you had an hour to get under that pop fly today and you catch it flat-footed?
That was actually embarrassing. Like, I couldn't, like, that was a short fly ball. Like, that should have been a play. That was embarrassing. But you know what? Robles owes us. I still have not forgotten that home run. In the ninth, whatever it was last season, like game 8, the Phillies were about to be 8-3, I believe it was, and that homer, and then they have 7-4, and like they never like they never got back there. Or 8-2. I think it was 8-2. They were 7-2, that's what it was. They were 7-2, and they were gonna be 8-2, and they lost that game, and then that was the beginning of the end.
That was the game that Harper homered off Strasburg.
They had that win. Like that game, it was down to the last pitch. It was the last strike on Robles. Like, I've never forgiven him still, as you can tell by the
fact I'm bringing up right now. I know. You're really banged up about it. I mean, Edebry Ramos is literally in the Dodgers system now. So I think everything's gonna be okay. The Phillies have won 9 and 10, and they're better than that Nationals team last year. Yeah. I mean, literally they had, and again, disclaimer, I understand the Phillies are hot, and I understand the Nationals won the World Series last year. But this team's been a lot like that Nationals team last year. Like, they bought at the deadline, and they bought only bullpen pieces. I don't think Wheeler and Nola are as good as Strasburg, Corbin, and Scherzer.
Well, yeah, obviously.
I don't think, but Aaron Nola, whatever. but it's at least semi-comparable.
Well, the two are. I mean, the third, like, if we're really doing it, Eflin is not Corbin.
You sure?
Yeah, you sure? I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, whatever. Corbin throws 89 now. Like, that contract is going to be a freaking disaster.
Yeah, but still, they won.
They won the World Series. Yeah, I got it. But this Phillies team's a wagon, and Wheeler was a better signing than Corbin anyway. Like, Wheeler was a better signing than Corbin. Like, we can all be fair here. I mean, Wheeler is just tremendous. But
I think for the money, but still, it's hard to underrate.
Winning
the
a World
role
Series.
Corbin played in them winning a World Series.
Well, if you know one thing about me, we overrate championships. But
except when Bryce wins them,
then they matter a lot. Really though, like this, like the Nationals last year bought at the deadline. They bought Daniel Hudson. They bought Hunter Strickland. They signed Fernando Rodney, who is now a free agent. Maybe the Phillies need to sign him.
Unbelievable.
They made I forget the other move off the top of my head, but they brought in a bunch of bullpen pieces at deadline. They had the starting staff with Corbin, Scherzer, Strasburg, the Phillies.
Brandon Kinsler, was that the other move?
He was definitely in there as well. And then the lineup, I mean, listen, this lineup reminds me a lot of the Nationals lineup. They don't have the Rendon, but Bohm is similar. They have the big-time pop. I mean, Soto's obviously – I know we said Tatis over Soto. Not sure about that one.
Yeah. It's still Tatis, but it's like really close. And dude, here's the thing. We had Acuna in that group, and it's probably Tatis, Soto, and then Acuna.
If you had a bet right now, does Soto get 700 home runs?
Oh man, it's no.
Really?
Look,
dude, he's like a 30 homer a year guy.
I know, and he's so young, and he's so freakish. It's just like I feel like it's always a bad bet to bet on someone to get to that level because of injuries, this, that, whatever. But like, look, if I had to bet on anyone in Major League Baseball to get to 700 home runs, it would 100% be Juan Soto. Is that fair?
I think that's fair. I think it's fair. I don't like that you disrespected Bryce, but I agree with your overall assessment. this team's awesome. I'm sorry.
9-1 did you or 9-10 did you
9-10
that?
9-10 9-10 I might
9-1 in their last 10. That's another way you could say it.
I might wake
we
up.
We definitely have to name. Like, we never really talk about the title of the podcast when we're doing the podcast, but this podcast absolutely has to be named 9 of 10.
Well, I mean, we're usually big 2 of 3 guys. Now,
it's true.
Now
it's
are
true.
We not? Now are we 9 of 10 guys?
I would like. Yes, that official high ups position. 9 of 10 guys. I said 3 of 4 against Washington. They won all 4. Yeah. You thought they'd split?
I thought they'd split. I thought I was getting a 7-10 split.
Oh, unbelievable.
Listen. You know,
I'm so excited. This is so like this is so exciting, man.
I know.
They're 18-15. They are a playoff team. Like, they're gonna make the playoffs. And like Jack and I were talking today when we saw each other, and we're like, legitimately. And look, the Padres are good. We both concede that. We both really like that roster.
The Padres are dead to me.
But like, it is a fair thing to say that unless they are playing the Dodgers, I will feel I'm not saying I would pick them, but I would feel confident they can win any series against any team. Like, look, the Padres might be better, the Cubs might be better, the Braves might be better. I don't think they all necessarily are, but they could be. The Padres are super talented. But, like, unless you're going in a series against the Dodgers, like, I don't think you're this, like, gargantuan, you know, dog in any of them. Like, and that's, Jack, like, this team could win a series. This team could threaten, like, and like you said with the Nats last year, like, I think this bullpen ultimately at some point will let them down, and that's why I wouldn't say I think they're going to win the World Series. But, like, they can win the World Series. I don't think they will, but it is not crazy to say that they are, if you want to say there's, like, 10 to 12 teams that could win the World Series or whatever that list is, like, they're on that list. Like, that's not crazy to say.
Especially in a 60-game season.
Exactly. In a weird, with three-game playoff series in the first round, all this weird stuff. Like, that's the point. Like, they're on that list. Like, again, I'm not betting on them. I certainly, if I have, am putting my money down on any team right now to win, even though, you know, the favorite doesn't always pull it out. I think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball, like, bar none, as far as I'm concerned. But they could, man. Like, it's not crazy. Baseball's like that.
And honestly, how I feel about this team right now is kind of how I felt about when the 2017 Eagles started getting on a roll. Bloody,
that's why the 61-yard Elliott
I know.
Field goal parallel. I know. It's like a great parallel. Richie said it. I was like, man, that's really good. Like, that's a really good call because it was the season saver. Like, that not play at the plate was the season saver.
Well, yeah, because you have freaking dollar store Brad Lish going for two for two with blown saves.
I honestly think that we have to. Is there a penny store? Is that a thing out there? Because it might be penny store Brad Lish.
Yeah. Well, whatever. Phelps is here now, and Neris is back. Yeah. Obviously. I mean, whatever.
He looked awesome tonight. Like, yeah, he strikes out the side. Looked just dominant in a tie game in a high leverage spot.
Can I just say something? Can we just leave Hector alone? Like, he goes
the Reese of pitchers.
He goes on this short stretch of being terrible and everyone's like, see? It's like, would you just relax? He's mostly good. I would say Hector Neris is good 3/4 of the time. Like, that's
by the end of the season, you're going to look up and he has somewhere, depending on the variance of the year, between a 2.7 and a 3.3 ERA. And you're like, cool. That
works. Yeah. Yeah. Because listen, bullpens blow it all the time. Like, and bullpens literally blow it all the time.
Well, I think that's one of those things that, like, and I think baseball nowadays is more than any other sport, like, the most localized, where you and I, like, watch a lot of baseball and stuff, but, like, in general, baseball fans, like, watch their team religiously and are more invested in their team than other fans of other sports and stuff, but they don't necessarily always watch, like, the White Sox and the Tigers or the Dodgers and the Giants or this and that. Like, they'll maybe watch some ESPN games here and there, but, like, they're not seeking it out as much, and that's one of those things that I think, like, when we get myopic with it in Philly, especially, like, in sports radio or whatever, talking about the Phillies, like, we focus so much on, like, oh, like, the third and fourth starter and fifth starter are so horrendous. It's like, well, actually, like, if you look at the teams around Major League Baseball, like, Zach Eflin is not that bad compared to, like, most of the options at third or fourth starter. Spencer Howard, the upside of that, is not bad compared to what a lot of teams have at that third and fourth starter, and even contending teams. Like, I just think that sometimes we can get lost in the following the day-to-day of our team and not realize that comparative to some other teams, like, and potentially teams you're contending with, certain situations that you don't think as bad as they are that you think are worse than they are, aren't as bad as you think.
Now, I will say, Jake Arrieta, still bad. Still definitely bad.
Did you
bad.
Notice how I did not mention his still name? I said Zach Eflin.
Definitely
I
said bad.
I am so far out on Jake Arrieta that he's not even mentioned there.
Yeah, only 5 more starts, I think. Zach Eflin is a luxury. I think not many teams have the 1-2 punch.
It's a great point.
Of Wheeler Nola.
I was just
Nola.
Thinking that when you said Zach Eflin's a luxury, my head went to it. I should have said, like, duh, like, Nola Wheeler is, like, a really good top two, like, better than most teams by far.
Definitely. Especially in a three-game series, we're talking playoffs. I love that we're talking playoffs. Like, it's like
I'm like so happy, man. It's so late and I'm so tired and I'm like giddy. Like, I don't even feel it because I'm so happy talking about
it. It's 12:09 right now and I'm thinking about a Wheeler Nola back-to-back and how just beautiful that's going to be and how tough that's going to be. Whatever. Listen, I'll take Phil's in three. Whatever. Phil's in three until we face the Dodgers and then it's like Dodgers in six. But and we'll bring back Stairsy. I think we don't do ceremonial first pitches anymore or whatever, but if Matt Stairs could throw out the first pitch of the NLCS, that'd be great.
It's so nice
to be back. Like James, they are a freaking lock for the playoffs. Like they're a lock for the playoffs. I know it's eight teams, I know it's Mickey Mouse, I know all that. I don't care. Whatever. They're a playoff team. I don't care.
I mean, like, honestly, they would probably, you know, obviously if we don't know what would happen in a long 162-game season and all that, but in this season, if they had not expanded the playoffs, the Phillies would have made the playoffs most likely anyway. You know, like, they're probably going to be the five or the four or potentially win the division. But I think they'll be one of the top five teams this season.
I think my favorite part about this podcast is that we're 30 minutes in and we haven't talked about any of the games.
You know what's funny is I literally just looked at the clock and I was like, huh, are we going to talk about like specifics or anything or just going to be on this high? I don't even need to. I mean, like, and we'll get like, again, I actually remember saying early in the podcast, I'm like, oh, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
That shows how excited we are and how like, this just feels real. Like, it feels like real. Like, we've gotten excited before. You know, you've listened to us. We don't lie to the high hopes listeners. Like, you know that there have been times where maybe we've gotten a little overboard. Like, maybe the first week of last season or whatever. Like, where we've gotten really excited. But, like, this is the realest it's ever felt since we've been doing this podcast. Like, right now feels like the best Phillies team we've ever talked about. And that's, like, it's like awesome, man. Like, it makes me excited. I'm giddy, dude. Like, that's how I feel. I feel giddy, and it's weird. It feels weird. Like,
I know.
We keep expecting for them to let us down. Like, every time because for the entirety of the High Hopes podcast, every time we get excited like this, we get let down. Every time, like, boom, 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 hammer comes down. Like, this time, it feels like, if nothing else, we're going to get to see playoff baseball, feel like we have some semblance of a chance, watch a fun team all season long, even if it is a shortened, you know, whatever of a season. Like, it feels different and it's awesome. Like, it's so awesome.
Yeah. And like, they definitely had better winning percentages under Gabe. I mean, weren't they 10 games over 500 in 18 before September?
They were in 18, they were in first place on August 31st in the National League East.
Yeah.
Like, that's legit. They're not right now. We're in September in a shortened season.
And then I went to Costa Rica and everything fell apart. Literally.
We had like the worst month of September. I'll never forget the Rockies series. I will never forget it. Like,
Velasquez
even need to finish your sentence. I was able to finish it for you because I knew exactly what you were going to say, because I will never forget that series. Like, that was close to us in all the years of the Phillies sucking my whole life. Like, that was one of the lows, like the lowest of lows. Like, it's crazy. Like, that the Phillies have lost 11,000 times. Yeah, and I grew up in a time where, like, they really sucked. 93 was like it for the entirety of my young life and whatever. Like I should have, like, it wasn't as bad as a lot of teams that were there, but that Rockies series, like, felt so low, man.
The Rockies got the hit every single time. Like, every time, I hated that series. I mean, like, you were able to just watch it home. Like, I produced that series. It was, it was awful. Like, and I don't want to upset any of our listeners that may have been around to watch the 1918 to 1948 Phillies, who I just learned the other day had 30 losing seasons in 31 years.
There's a reason that the Phillies were the first franchise in the history of American sports to lose 10,000 games. I was at that game. I was at the 10,000th loss against the Cardinals.
Why were you there?
Yeah, it was fun. I used to see history, my friend.
Sure, that's the right kind of history. So again,
it was not. That's for sure.
Again, I don't want to upset any of our listeners that watched from 1918 to 1949.
I'm guessing if there are any, God bless you. You are our favorite listeners. If you are there and you saw that and you're still trucking and still loving the Phillies, you are literally our number one listener, and we love you.
And able to figure out podcasts.
Yeah, that too.
It feels like a major win. Yeah, this feels real. It feels real. And like we would try to psych ourselves in the teams the last couple of years, and we would do a pretty good job of doing it, I would say. Although I will say opening day last year felt about as real as this.
Well, the first like 4-0 and then 7-2 kind of trucking along, the offense was hitting, and then
the Robles homer.
I know, dude. The Robles homer. Yes. Again, burned in my soul.
But I really hope Matt and John Melton are listening to this podcast. Like, dude, imagine having JT and Didi here for the next couple of years. I know Bryson Stott is there waiting in the wings, but dude, Didi, JT, you know, Kutch, you got one more year, and man, what a signing Kutch has been. You know, I thought he was done. Before the injury last year, he was great. This year, it took him a little bit to get going, but he's definitively back, and a really, really underrated signing. Like, I know you don't believe in John the way that I do, and I just think that he watches his team, and I don't think he lets them break up. I mean, because they might be closer than we think. I mean, the Phillies might be closer to than we think. And this is a really deep lineup, 1 through 9. Even Quinn, who is really frustrating at times, like the Turner inside the park home run. But man, he still is an effective ball player. Like, he's your only like kind of hole in the lineup, and he's still pretty solid most days. And if you want to just combine him and Haseley and let them kind of just go and whatever. I mean, Segura's barreling up everything right now. Like, this lineup is just dynamic 1 through 9, and you got to keep them together. Like, this is a championship caliber Major League Baseball lineup. They just are. They just are. And if you're John Middleton and you signed Harper to that deal, you've done all these things, you paid Wheeler that contract, like, and you see this lineup every single night, you have to do what it takes to keep them together. And it's ridiculous that they went into the season with this bullpen. We all understand that's ridiculous, but I hope that what has happened in the last 9 of 10 games, which they had won 9 of, which people forget, I hope that John Middleton realizes this team is closer and it's time to invest. It's time to put on the big boy pants. It's time to put on the big boy pants, John, because they're closer than you think. And this is a championship caliber lineup with a championship caliber 1-2. Go buy a freaking bullpen, and we'll keep advancing with Spencer Howard and Zach Eflin and have a really good 1-4, and we will find a fifth starter. But invest in the bullpen. This team is way closer than I had even thought.
Yeah, well, especially, and this is a point you made before, but like, what else are you going to do, right? At this point, with the way you've built this team, again, to the point you just made, I mean, you brought Harper in here, you paid him. I mean, you've got a core of guys who are at the right age to compete. I mean, what else do you do? I mean, you have a farm system, right? I mean, there's no help on the way. There's no like, oh, let's, if we move on from this guy, we can, you know, bring these guys up. And, you know, there's not much of that you can count on. So, what else are they going to do? I think it's an imperative. And like you said, the point is that it's not just bringing back Didi and JT and keeping the slime together. It's going out and spending. It's buying a bullpen. It's time for John Middleton to look. We have criticized the hell out of him for not going over the tax, but if he is, now is the time to prove where the whole, like, I'm not going over the tax until it's time to go over the tax, and then I'll go over the tax. Like, hey, guess what? It's time, John. We found it. Like, next season, they better be over the luxury tax. They better. They better.
Well, dude, but
they have to.
They might not even have to. There's $45 million coming off the books this year.
Right. And but again,
you can't be, but they can't be afraid to. That's my point. The, like, freaking they need stories.
They need to be willing to because, to your point, Jack, like, you're right. They are a championship caliber lineup. They have a championship caliber 1-2, certainly a better 1-2 than the last time the Phillies won the World Series. I think we can 100% agree on that. They have a championship caliber 1-2.
And
they
a better lineup than the 08 team? What? Did I say that?
A championship caliber lineup and a championship caliber manager. They need a bullpen and they need another starter. And then all of a sudden it's like, look, like, are you going to be better than the Dodgers? Maybe not, but are you going to be good enough that you could beat the Dodgers in a 7-game series? Yeah, that could absolutely happen with the core of what's here and a few additions. You know, like, you have to be willing to go out and spend on those additions, and you have to obviously hit. But you're absolutely right, Jack. Look, we just said it before. Like, even this season, and they can only make it better, I feel like, after the season with Arrieta's money coming off and the ability to kind of maneuver, assuming they can re-sign Romito and Didi and keep this lineup together. I mean, like, this year we said earlier in the podcast that they are one of the handful of teams that at least theoretically has a chance to win the World Series. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win the World Series, or I think they're going to win the World Series, but it's not impossible. Like, and they're the last few years, like, it's impossible. Like, it's impossible the Phillies could have won the World Series. Like, this year it's not impossible. And that alone, like, if you add to what you have, like, you've got something, man. Like, you've got a chance.
And also, it's not like the Dodgers have been, you know, lights out in the postseason.
No, look, it's a really fair point.
I mean, as long as Kershaw's there, Clayton Manning's there, we'll be all right.
Hey!
Yeah, so I think the official high hopes position, which has been the official high hopes position for a long time, is, hey, we give you permission. You are allowed to go over the luxury tax.
Yes. Yeah, that has been our staunch position. And also we give you permission to believe in this and, like, get excited about this and get mad if they don't go over the luxury tax and if they don't add to this team like they need to. Like, look, whatever happens this season, this is the squad we got. But this offseason, obviously they need to sign JT. Obviously, as we just said, they need to sign Didi, but they need to add to this team and they need to, like, treat it like it's a true contender, because that has not been something that they've done.
Yeah, and again, I mean, this team would be they'd have at least 5 more wins if you had a competent bullpen.
Absolutely. They would be in first place without a doubt if they had a competent bullpen.
Like, I know.
No question they're in first place.
How it was allowed for this team to come into the season with the bullpen they had is still mind-boggling, but...
Well, you made a great point on the afternoon show about this, where you were, like, talking about the Eagles' offensive line and saying it could be like the Phillies' bullpen, where we all went into the season knowing it wasn't okay, saying this is going to be the problem, this isn't going to work. And yet we just waltz into these seasons with these things. Like, it was a great point. Like, that's how we felt. Like, this is not like it was a surprise that the Phillies bullpen was historically bad. We all expected it to be historically bad.
Wait, so you mean that having the guy who's never played right guard before play right guard and have the guy who's never played left tackle before start left tackle is going to be a problem? Is that what we're saying? But yeah, it's just like, I'm forgiving it because they won 9-10. If they don't make a deep run and they face the Padres in the first round because of the 5-seed or the 6-seed, like, I'm just gonna be pissed, and it's just gonna bring up all the old feelings of this could be a legitimate team if you gave this team a bullpen for the first 12 months. But
that's why they need to win the division.
Yeah,
not playing the Padres would be a really nice thing.
Yeah,
playing like the Rockies or the, and look, the Cardinals, obviously, dude. Flaherty is great. But playing the Cardinals.
The Cardinals stink.
Those teams would be better than the Padres.
I hate the Cardinals. It may be because I lost a bet on the Cardinals earlier this week, but I hate the Cardinals. Like Paul DeJong is my least favorite player in baseball. But yeah, like listen, they're the fourth best team in the NL right now with a chance. I think they could definitely be better than the Cubs, especially as the season goes on. But they're at worst the fourth team in the NL.
Yeah, fourth or fifth is
yeah,
the point.
Yeah, like whatever. I love them. Just the fact that it's back. Just the fact that baseball is like, it feels like it's back in the city. And you know what sucks the most is that like the Bank would be so electric right now.
I know.
Like the Bank would just be, we'd be getting
hitting too. Oh, fun.
No one would
be getting so into it. It's such a bummer.
No one would leave their seats. They'd be like. Although I will say, and I want to know if you agree with me on this, because I had this take in my head the other day. The fact that there's no fans, I think, really helped this team the first like month and a half of the season, or really before they won 9-10.
Because when they struggled, you mean?
Yeah, because I think
it's a great take.
If there were fans there, I don't think Reese would be able to bounce back. And I know that sounds bad, but like Reese has openly talked about how last year against the Pirates, he had like bases loaded, one out, and he popped up, and he got really again like severely booed. And he just talked about how like that was really draining for him. And given how bad Reese was, if there was fans there, it would just, I don't know if he would have been able to bounce back from it. And we wouldn't be able to see the Reese that we have right now. You know, the bullpen, they would have got just booed off the off the field, probably. God,
can you imagine?
Yeah. So, but with no fans there, they've been able to kind of stabilize and their team ERA is 4-5 right now. Now the bullpen ERA is I think still 6-8, which is
a massive improvement.
Yeah, we're coming down from the high eights.
Look, Phelps is legit. JoJo is legit.
Best Romero, best lefty Romero to ever.
Now stop it.
Best lefty Romero. To ever put on a Phillies uniform.
Stop it. That's heresy. Look, JoJo's nasty, man. Like, he's a dude. You tweeted that. Jack tweeted, JoJo is a dude. And I was like, that's a perfect tweet because JoJo's a dude.
JoJo's a dude. I did not expect this. Like, no. Full disclosure, didn't expect 97 with a wipeout slider. Pleasantly surprised. And... Two things I think about JoJo. One, seems like he'll take the ball and be confident in his stuff and feel like his stuff doesn't stink, basically. And he'll go out there and throw competitive pitches and think he's the best pitcher on the planet, which I think is massive. For
confidence is so important, man.
Right.
It's important in sports.
And I think he's better than Adam Morgan. I like Adam Morgan a lot. I would trust JoJo Romero over Adam Morgan right now.
It's not even a question for me.
Yeah, and I think Joe G, that is Girardi, he definitely does not trust young guys, it doesn't seem like. Very clearly. But I would like for him to trust JoJo because he's the kind of guy that you
trust. I think
trust.
He's starting to more.
He doesn't have a choice
because Morgan's hurt, but still.
Yeah, he's also better than Ranger Suarez. I'm not, you know...
We haven't seen much of Ranger.
No, I know. And he's coming back, and I get it. But, like,
Ranger's back, apparently. We just haven't seen much.
Suarez is, like, the guy that had, like, who doesn't have that good of stuff, but was good for 2 weeks, and everyone convinced themselves, like, oh, he's the missing piece. Nah, JoJo's the guy. JoJo's straight up the guy. It's not Ranger Suarez, who's fine, whatever. But he's closer to Cole Irvin than JoJo Romero. So, yeah. JoJo is great. I love him.
It's a strange sensation to see a guy come out of the bullpen and feel good about it. Like it's I'm still not used to it. But
well, him and Blake Parker.
Him and Blake Parker is
zero ERA.
Shut down. Like zero just ERA. Dominant reliever. And look, I know Phelps, like you said, Phelps came up the home run, but like I'm all in on Phelps. Like I would trust that guy with my life or an eighth or ninth inning lead. So all right. We didn't talk at all really about the games except the passing, which is fine. Look, Rees, so locked in. Girardi, shout out to Girardi for the Neil Walker move. I know you got a lot of, like, he's just Girardi's butt. Like, he's got a really good feel for things right now. And I know that was a numbers thing and all that. But, I mean, I would think no matter, 0 for 17 is a sample size, but I wouldn't say a substantial sample size in terms of batter versus pitcher if you look at like really what the data shows. But over 17 is noticeable. But like to take Rees out of the lineup there, like when he's just the most locked in dude on the planet, and then for Walker to go 3 for 3 and then Rees to step back in the lineup today and hit a home run and just be locked in again, like it just, we were talking about a little before, but I, you know, just coming back to it, really feels like Girardi's really starting to get a feel for this team, his guys, when he can use guys on both sides of the ball, so to speak. I think it was an impressive weekend for him.
It really feels like he's just kind of managing. It's almost like basketball where you're managing minutes, but he's managing minutes for these guys heading up to this, what they have like 29 games in 26 days. Yeah. And a seven
six
games,
doubleheaders, five doubleheaders, something like that. It's intense.
Two doubleheaders next week. Now, if he keeps batting Bohm in the freaking 7-8 hole and not bumping him up a little bit, it's gonna drive me crazy. Also, like, did you see today when he pitched to Soto with the base open?
I think everyone on the planet was shocked by that.
It's like, what are we doing? I mean,
I was in the car when that happened, and Fransky and LA were like, what the hell is happening? I'm sure you know, you were doing the game. Like, everyone knew it in the moment.
Yeah. So, but yeah, no, it's like what, and I threw this comp out today, but it's what it reminds me of. It reminds me of when Doug gets the Eagles rolling. I mean, when Doug figures it out, and it feels like Doug figures it out every year, and it feels like Girardi is figuring it out now. I mean, this is what they talk about when they talk about the competent manager that knows what he's doing. Yeah, it's great. And honestly, it's not even just Girardi. I mean, I think, like, Dylan.
Yeah, I think Dylan's, Price has made a difference. Dylan, we talked about last time. Dylan, I think he's making a difference.
So good, man. He's got these guys on the barrel, and they're just doing damage. And I think they're confident in him. You know, Girardi talked after the game two nights ago about how Rees just kind of started trusting him, and he had to develop that trust. And look at how it's kind of manifested itself. Rees is the best he's looked since he came up in 2017. So, like, Dylan just has these guys on the barrel. Didi is just squaring up everything. I mean, Bryson, like, the fact that Bryce and JT have just gone ice cold, and the lineups, I've never felt better about the lineup, is kind of crazy. But literally, like, Kutch is on the barrel all the time. Rees is on the barrel all the time. Didi, Bohm is consistently on the barrel. Gene Segura is barreling up everything. I thought Kingery was starting to barrel up stuff before he went on the IL with the back. I mean, Goose is obviously a barrel machine. That's why he has the nickname Barrels. I can't believe I called him Goose. That's on me.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I was...
You didn't know who I was talking about?
Really disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah. I know.
Once I realized who you were talking about. I thought you were talking about my buddy Goose.
No, and my also buddy Goose, not Phil Gosselin.
So you're talking about Barrels? Is that what you're
talking about? Yeah. That is who I was talking about. Also, you know what else cracks me up? And I don't know if I'm the only one that has noticed this, but like, and I know you got to keep sponsors happy. It's so funny when T-Mac is working in the Yingling sponsors. Like, have you noticed that they'll come back in like the seventh inning, and whoever pitches well that night, like, T-Mac will be like, yeah, and Aaron Nola really earned a Yingling tonight. Or like, they'll flash the camera on the Yingling sign, and T-Mac will be like, yeah, Zach Wheeler really deserved a Yingling after this one. And it's just so, it's not like really a live read, but it's definitely like a, hey, can you mention our product kind of thing. I don't know how I transitioned to that. It is 12:30.
I'm so tired.
I'm so tired.
I'm starting to run out of steam. I just said I'm starting to run out of team.
I know you are, but the Phils have won 9 and 10.
9 and 10. What do you got in the note bag? You got any note bag action?
Honestly, the podcast right now is kind of like Spencer Howard's fastball in the fifth inning.
Nine to ten. Let's just say 9 to 10. Are we good with just
No. I'm not okay with that. I got a lot of stuff in here I got to get to.
Okay, get to it.
Thank you. Also, not worried about Spencer Howard's velocity. It's just a leg strength thing, I think, for him. He was throwing, like, it wasn't all the time, but he was hitting 98 in his no-hitter down Lakewood a couple of years ago. So he has shown the ability to throw hard late into games. And the velo decreases I am not worried about. And honestly, just being able to watch Spencer Howard every fifth start, hopefully going down this, like, it's nice seeing his growth start to start, because we are seeing growth start to start from Spencer Howard. So that is definitely good to see. I guess I thought I had more. I feel like I have to do it. If it came down to one game, I would take this lineup.
Oh, I saw you tweet this.
I would take this lineup over the 08 lineup. I mean, sue me.
You're going there. Thought you're going about.
The Boehm thing.
Trust Boehm, yeah.
Two things that I fully feel in the bottom of my heart.
You would really, real quick, you would really take them over 08, because I can't get there yet. They're great. They're an outstanding offensive team, but I'm not quite there. But, I mean, it's not the craziest thing ever, but I would take
them. Would you say they're deeper?
Yeah, I would absolutely say they're deeper.
I don't think their
bench is ridiculous. I mean, like, they're deep, man. There is not a whole – I mean, center field. That's the – whether it's Kingery, Haseley, Quinn, nice – still wish we saw more of Adam Haseley, but that's not allowed. That's literally the one offensive hole, and it's not even a huge hole. Like, it's
no,
fine.
It's fine.
It's your nine hitter. It's fine. But, like, that's it. Like, literally it. So they're very deep.
Very deep. And the numbers are very similar. Best Phils teams I've seen in my life. 2011, 2008, 2020. That's how I'd rank them.
I can't even. I'm just gonna stay.
Final thing, I think. I love JT and Bryce, and I tweeted this earlier, but those guys are great. Whatever. We talked about it last podcast. I feel like JT never gets the big hit, and Bryce does, but I don't know. I trust Alec Boehm in a big spot.
Yes.
I trust him over anyone.
What a take.
Anyone. I trust him over anyone. That guy is always going to put together a good at bat, and he's going to put the barrel on the baseball. Like, I fully believe that. I would trust him in a clutch spot every single time.
Wow. Here's the thing. I'm trying to dispute this, and I can't.
Because you know in your gut that's how you feel, too.
I know. I feel like, I guess it depends what you're looking for. If I need someone at a home run, maybe it's a different answer. But if I just need someone to get a hit in a big spot, to get on base, to get a hit, whatever, yeah, it's probably like Boehm.
Yeah.
Here's the other crazy thing. Rhys Hoskins, way higher on that list than he would have been a few weeks ago. I'll tell you that much.
Rhys has a higher OPS than Bryce.
Look, he might be number two. It might go Boehm Rhys right now in terms of who I would want up in a big spot.
I'm not going that far.
He's been great, man.
I watched a year, a calendar year of Rhys Hoskins at the dish.
Right now, obviously in the midst of the Oscar, I know. I'm sure next week I could say something different. You got anything else in the note bag?
I feel like we have to get this out there.
It's always dangerous when you say that.
I know, but
especially at 12:38 in the evening.
Yes.
Morning.
Like 12:30 is nighttime. Okay, it's not a morning. That doesn't officially change till at least 3 a.m. 3 a.m. is when it changes over, and I would just like that. Just like New Year's.
Know that was canon. Is that canon?
I don't know, but all I'm saying is that two things I fundamentally believe is that the next day does not start until 3 a.m. Like, that is officially morning, and a New Year should be the day after the Super Bowl. Like, the day after the Super Bowl is actual New Year's. January 1st is not New Year's.
I think your second take is the wrong take. I agree with the thought of it, but what it, the the correct take is the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday. It doesn't have to be New Year's. New Year's can stay where it is. But the day after the Super Bowl should be a national holiday. Listen, no one should have to go to work the day after the Super Bowl. Like,
unless the Eagles are in any work in sports
right
now.
Well, yeah. We don't count for that stuff.
Well, listen, if you want to have takes that everyone's had for 25 years, you can be you. But I'm going to be me. And
very good.
Anyway, so what I was trying to say before we started about talking about the calendar is that even if the Phillies made the playoffs this year, I still want Nat Klentak fired. I don't care. I'm not giving him
Feelings about him have not changed one bit, except maybe I like him even less after having to make those trades just to fix the bullpen so that this championship caliber team potentially had some semblance of a shot, because you screwed up so bad coming into the season. You suck.
Yes. And I do not like, I feel like I could have made every move that Matt Klentak
I made. Still say, no matter what happens this season, this Phillies team is winning in spite of Matt Klentak, not because of him. That's how I feel.
So Matt, I'm very sorry if you listened to 58 minutes of this podcast and just got to this point. Waiting for some validation for your work. Sorry, and guess what, buddy? It's not happening. Not happening at all. And of course, as always, there is Fresh High Hops. It is going to be in cans this weekend, but not the can design that I sent you, but it is in cans. So you will be able to take it home and enjoy it. And I mean, listen, they won 9 of 10. There's no better time to pick up some high ops. And as always, if you go into Four Fingers Brewing Company in Aston, try to talk Phillies with my dad. It is hilarious. He doesn't know anything about baseball, but he tries hard. He tries hard. So that's all that matters. I love this baseball team. Every single day I wake up and say, get me to 705. Throughout the day, I'm starting to just smile more. I mean, I feel like you haven't seen Giddy Jack around a lot recently at the office,
it's
James.
It's true.
But I feel like I'm starting to get back to the giddiness. I went out to lunch today with friend of the podcast, Jack Keffer, and I was just showing
you two Jacks.
Well, there's only one Jack. I showed off my pickoff move to all of Center City today.
Of course you did.
I just couldn't be more in.
You act like this is the first time you've done that.
Yeah, whatever. And just take 2 or 3 from the Mets. Although
9 of 10. We're a 9 of 10 pod now.
Yeah, 9 of 10 pot. Definitely not looking forward to Arrieta Porcello tomorrow night. Like, I hate watching.
It sounds like torture.
Yeah, I might not watch it. I'm just kidding. But
just kidding.
But 9 of 10.
Yeah, 9 of 10.
9 of 10.
Bedtime. 9 of 10.
Never a doubt.
Never a doubt for some of us. 9 of 10. 9 of 10.
Never a doubt.
All right, I'm going to bed. You going to bed? Let's go.
Well, I got to edit this down, so.
Yeah, well, I got to record another podcast, too, so.
Still?
Still.
Wow, it sucks.
Late night for this guy. It's all good.
Hey, 9 of 10.
You know what? I love high hopes. I love the Phillies. 9 of 10. He's Prince himself, so we'll see you later.